Hey there, nursing community. Welcome back for episode 13 of Two Male Nurses.
It's two male nurses, two male nurses.
And we're here bringing a cool concept to you guys today. But before we get started, we're going to give one shout out to someone who is very, very special and important to me, who actually just got their letters.
Oh yeah, she's one of the new local big boys on campus. Don't mess with her.
Right. Now this is not an ICU big boy. These are the real big boys.
Oh yeah, down the ER.
The ER big boys.
The real big boys, yeah.
This has got Cammie Oliver, who happens to have the same last name as me and happens to be my wife. And I'm just so excited for her that she was able to get her CEN, got her letters, totally annihilated the test, did so well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
she's an amazing nurse. But enough of that. We'll get into today's lesson.
We're talking kidneys today.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, we're back and we're talking the kidneys, one of the most amazing organs in the body with multiple functions that are very delicate. And we're going to talk about two different things today. We're going to be talking about pre-renal failure and intra-renal failure. And to start off, we're just going to do a quick little review of what the kidneys do. We're like, nice. They help you pee, and that's about it, right?
Oh, that's it.
That's really all they do. So moving on. We're just kidding. So very, very interesting organ. Starting off right now, they help with removing waste, obviously, all of the extra electrolytes in your body or actual, literal waste products that your body produces helps get that out in your, through your urine, right? Filters, right? And also extra fluid. So they're really, people that do have damaged kidneys will often end up having, being fluid overloaded, having that dependent pitting edema and all that kind of stuff if their kidneys are not functioning properly. Also, kidneys are a huge factor in regulating your blood pressure through the RAS system that we all learned about in school that maybe we can talk about more on another time.
RAS.
Yeah. Through the renin-angiotensin, all that kind of stuff, which helps raise your blood pressure, which helps support the kidneys. We're going to talk about how important blood pressure is for those kidneys. Also, your kidneys release erythropoietin, which helps activate your making of red blood cells. That's why you always see those chronic kidney patients that are chronically anemic, right? They also are important for the healthier bones because they produce either a precursor or something regarding vitamin D that help absorb calcium and phosphorus, so building those. So when you're giving your patient those meds, you're like, oh, why am I giving them this prenatal vitamin? The dude's 90 years old.
And he's not pregnant.
He's not pregnant. And he asks, are you giving me? Oh, your prenatal vitamin. He's like, oh, yeah, that's it. And we're like, oh, okay, here you go, buddy. I don't know what you're sneaking this for.
But just swallow it.
Vitamin D for these patients is beneficial. Then also, one of our favorite, big parts of what the kidneys do is controlling pH for removing either acidic contents in your body or providing buffers as well for maintaining that homeostasis.
Yeah. And each one of those, we could definitely, you could talk for hours about each different one, but just more we're trying to focus, just keeping a big picture that the kidneys do a lot in your body. They're not just there,
Really important organ.
Yeah.
Can't live without, you can't live without them, right? Dialysis. Bad joke. Okay. So the first one we're going to talk about.
Well, there's actually three of them. I think first we had said two, but there's actually three.
Three failures that we're talking
about. Right. There's the pre-renal, intra-renal, and post-renal. And it's interesting because, we talk in the eye, they're in kidney failure. Oh, they're failing. And before I read this stuff, it didn't cross my mind. Down work in the ER, it didn't cross my mind of like, oh, they're a kidney failure. Oh, they're an AKI. They're this, they're that. Oh, AKA on CKD. that's a lot of letters. I'm going back on my break. It doesn't really cross your mind, but it is interesting knowing their different parameters and what they come from a little bit.
Right. We're going to focus on the main ones here, pre-renal and intra-renal. And really quick, we'll just mention post-renal is all those things past the kidneys, any kind of blockage or, stone or whatever.
Basically. And you can think about them pre-renal is something that's causing a failure in the kidneys. happening before it gets to the kidneys. Ooh. Intrarenal is in the kidneys, obviously an issue in the kidneys, and then postrenal is some sort of issue happening after the kidneys. Mm. You know, basically, what anatomically? Anatomically. How many like M's are in that word? Yeah, so anatomically, anatomically, after, before, whatever.
Right.
So first you have your prerenal. This is something that's happening before it actually reaches the kidneys. Prerenal, some it's actually one website we pulled up is the one of the most common causes of kidney failure in ICUs. So for all the ICU nurses out there, or even ER, the critical care treatment, mm-hmm. it's a big issue. It's basically anything that's going to decrease flow to the kidneys. So if low blood pressure or hemorrhage, you have hemorrhage, you're going to have think about your things that decrease that any sort of just any sort of flow to the kidneys, like heart failure, cardiogenic shock, all the sepsis, like anything that's going to decrease your blood from reaching your kidney tubules. Our main source today is that Barron's critical care textbook. I can read a few of them here. You got hemorrhage, you got any sort of diuresis, your burns. But just in your head, if you're thinking, hey, this patient's not perfusing, they're not getting, they're not getting that blood all the way to the kidneys, they are in danger of a prerenal failure. And in the ICU, we talk a lot about MAP. This is something that you call report to the ICU, and they always ask, ER to ICU, well, what's their MAP? ER nurses have no idea. They don't even look at the MAP. Well, they're diastolic. They're fine, But that MAP, depending on where you go, they'll say 60, 65. Some places they'll say 55. The national standard one website said was 65. But keeping that just has to do with their pressure and perfusion and keeping those kidneys perfused. Yeah. So anything that's happening before the kidneys and it's causing a lack of perfusion into those kidneys, a low blood pressure, or any of those aforementioned topics, right, may result in a prerenal failure. It's happening before the kidneys.
Right. So if we have someone that's in, we are anticipating or seeing the, or something that's happening that's causing this prerenal failure right now, how do you fix it?
Well, you just fix the underlying cause, right? Okay, that's the general idea, and it's easier said than done. But so if they're septic, obviously we can put a Band-Aid on it. We'll hang some Levo or whatever to help that perfusion hopefully get there. We'll give them fluids. But ideally, with that prerenal, we fix the problem that's causing it. Okay, they're dehydrated. They're not perfusing. We give them fluid. Mm-hmm. They're in heart failure. Okay, we give them positive inotropes. We'll vasodilate, whatever.
Yeah, so fix the problem.
Hemorrhaging, we'll give them blood.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're fixing the problem that in turn, creates a better blood pressure, and therefore we're perfusing the kidneys again, and we're all off hunky-dory, unless...
real quick, there was that one thing that said that MAPS below, it was an article I think we read when we were studying for our CCRM, but the article said... a MAP below 60, if a patient has a MAP below 60 for greater than 45 minutes, can already start to injure the kidneys. So just a few minutes. In a lot of these places, you're cycling your blood pressure for 30 minutes, 50 minutes, just two or three cycles of your blood pressure and your MAP is below 60, you could already be causing irreparable harm, right, to your patient's kidneys.
Right. So we just don't want them, to be sitting around with those low pressures and everything.
That's
take them
why.
Seriously.
Yeah. You see the pressure, important, and you're like, okay, you cycle it. Okay. You take a manual. This is a real pressure. Let's fix it. Let's do it. Let's just try to make this patient perfuse better.
Right. That's why CVICU nurses freak out about MAPS.
Oh man.
They know it's important. They know.
They know.
Okay.
They know everything.
They know everything.
But okay, in addition to MAPS, right?
All right. So what I was going to say is that with prerenal failure, that hypotension can lead to our next issue here, which is going to be intrarenal failure. Okay, an intrarenal failure is going to be a destruction of the tubular basement membrane. Basically, it's actually damaging the inside of your kidney, the actual tubules that do all the different exchanges and get rid of the waste products and all that kind of stuff. It is damaging those. So intrarenal failure.
That's actually in the kidneys.
Inside the kidneys.
So prerenal, you're upstairs. You're in the kitchen, you're chilling, you're out on the porch, whatever. now you've gone down to the basement, okay? And in the basement, you got that basement membrane, yeah. Intrarenal.
Yeah, and even down in that basement, we're going to have some nephrotoxins and some things that can cause ischemia. So there's different things that can lead to this intrarenal failure, and those are the two kind of categories. So we're talking rhabdomyolysis drugs. You think of like your ACEs your NSAIDs and all that kind of stuff that can, you know, hurt your kidneys. And also contrast dye. You know, you can see that a lot with like vascular procedures, how they'll like, you know, prehydrate them, hydrate them afterwards or after like, you know, like cardiac catheterizations, all that kind of stuff. And the ischemic one is going to be that prolonged hypoperfusion, those MAPs that are less than 55. And so in that case, or even like people that go to surgery and that are on bypass, it also puts them at a risk, like an open heart surgery. So to fix intrarenal failure, we're talking maintaining fluid volume watch, but then also watching for fluid volume overload. Okay, because there's a high risk for that when their kidneys are totally like, you know, breaking on the inside, right? And then we're also going to be monitoring their electrolytes. They're high risk for hyperkalemia and all kinds of other ones. And then also potentially having to do dialysis for a bad metabolic acidosis. Those are just some brief ones. But we're going to focus on mainly for today is these key concepts that we're going to talk about in differentiating prerenal and intrarenal failure.
Really cool. Really cool. So you glance at a patient. Okay, their numbers are this, their numbers are that. Their doctors are doing tests. You got your nephrologist there. You got a resident yelling at you. But, you know, we all look at our labs in the morning. We look at these patients or at night if you're night shift and you glance at them. And what are you looking for? One of the first ones you're gonna see is a BUN to creat ratio. Your BUN to creat ratio. And when we first learned about that, I thought it was so fascinating when you see these patients that are like, you know, your chronic kidney patients, and it's just such an obvious intrarenal versus your prerenal and whatever. Mm-hmm. So your BUN to creat ratio for a prerenal, you're going to have a 20 to 40 to 1 ratio. And let me try to say that clearer. Basically, you're having a wide ratio. So you're going to have a very high BUN, but your creat is lower normal. Your creat's fine, and your creat's very specific to your kidneys. It's very, very specific to your kidneys, where your BUN can be all kinds of things. Your BUN can be off with dehydration or hemorrhage or all kinds of this other kind of stuff, but your creat's fine. So basically, your kidneys are working fine, but there's an issue somewhere else that's causing your BUN to go up. So you're going to have a wide ratio, okay? So it's going to be nice and wide. Your kidneys are fine, but your BUN's high. You're going to have a 40 to 1, a 50 to 1, a 60 to 1. For instance, your creat is 0.6, your BUN is 80 or 100 or whatever, your creat's 1, your BUN is 80. That's a nice wide ratio. You can dehydration, their post-surgery, whatever. It's got that wide ratio.
Yeah, dude, very, very interesting, honestly. And so for intrarenal, we kind of see the opposite ratio here. Instead of being 20 to 40 to 1, we're talking 10 to 15 BUN to like 1 creat. Okay, so for example, if your BUN was 10 or 15 and your creat was 1, then that's an intrarenal failure. When I used to look at labs in the morning, I'd be like, oh, BUN and creat are up or they're bumped or whatever you want to say. And I'm like, oh, their kidneys are hurting. But then with this, you know, knowledge, just knowing that there's actual ratios between BUN and creat, we can now see of like, oh, this is a prerenal failure based off of their hypotension they experienced last night when they came in for sepsis, and like we didn't, you know, treat that hypotension fast enough or whatever, or they were at home hypotensive for a long time. Or we can see that, oh, this is an intrarenal failure, so like their kidneys are actually really messed up. I need to be watching for like their, you know, their acid base balance. Like they can be, you know, having these symptoms, or, you know, more specific stuff, so like their kid, like the inside of their kidneys are really hurting.
Exactly, I love that. And you can see it. Sometimes you'll see a couple of days go by and maybe their BUN's not going up, but their creat is. So their ratio is getting normal. All of a sudden, their BUN's still 60, 65, but their creat's 6.2.
Right.
That's an intrarenal. All of a sudden, you get that 10 to 1, 6 and 6.2, you get your intrarenal.
Right. So just really cool. We'll just do like one more example here. So if someone's BUN is 90, okay, and their creat is 9.1, nice. Is that a intra or pre?
It's 10 to 1.
It's a 10 to 1 ratio.
Versus intrarenal. Someone whose BUN is 90, but their creat's only 1.
Right.
Oh, kidneys are working fine, but their BUN, something else is going on, hydration, hemorrhage, heart failure, whatever, what have you, may not be an issue yet.
Right.
Some of these other ones that we're just going to read off the list here are not as interesting, and some of them really, really are. This one I thought was another interesting one is the urine concentration. For a pre-renal, your urine's still going to be concentrated. I know.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay,
that is cool. So you get you got your concentrated urine. So the patient's creating urine, and they're still able and their urine's all dark, and it's coming out. Man, they might not be doing that good. In some ways, they actually may be doing good. Their kidneys are still able to concentrate urine. It's able to produce a nice thick urine, okay, versus
an intrarenal, where this is very interesting. For someone that's kidneys are like intrarenally damaged, the basement membrane.
They're down in the basement.
Right, yep. The foundation of their house now is damaged, right? And their kidneys have lost the ability to concentrate urine.
So what's going
to
happen?
They're going to have really dilute urine.
And they'll have more of it.
Right.
In the beginning phases of this renal failure, they're just going to dump urine.
Right. Yeah. And they're just chilling. So they're like, oh, wow, great. I got 70 out, 80 out, 60 out. Man, they're doing good. You know, they got good, clear, yellow urine.
They must be healthy. They must be hydrated.
Then you look at your other patient that's like, you know, oh, concentrated urine and they're, you know, pre-renal, all this stuff. Like, it's probably not that good. But it's like, well, kidney-wise, they're probably actually doing a little bit better.
They may be doing better.
Yeah. Very interesting. And this is like, this isn't just like made up stuff. You can actually see this in practice. You go there, you find one of those intrarenal BUN creatinine ratios, and in some instances you will have, you know, that very dilute urine. It's like, that makes sense, and that's just how it is. It cannot concentrate the urine anymore.
Absolutely. In keeping with this idea where, okay, the urine is, they're able to concentrate it versus, okay, they're just dumping fluid because it's coming through their kidneys and it's just dumping right out. Urine osmolarity, which is basically just the concentration, of urine with a prerenal, is going to be high. Urine specific gravity, okay, which is just the concentration of the solutes and basically the concentration of the fluid itself, mm-hmm. is going to be high. They're concentrating this urine. They're able to produce a urine versus
intrarenal, where their urine osmolality will be low because it is just so dilute. There's no concentration happening in that kidney.
Fluid comes in, fluid goes out.
Exactly.
Fluid comes in, fluid goes out.
Yep. And then the specific gravity as well will be low. And so now we're going to jump into the next part that is very, very interesting.
Basically,
and
the final part for this.
Yeah, for this. Yeah. And it'll help make a little bit more sense when all of a sudden you see your nephrologist ordered 120 milligrams of Lasix. You're what are they doing? Like, this patient hasn't made any urine or is making whatever or doing this response or their BUN creates this. They're doing it for a reason, because they're going to give them a Lasix challenge.
Yeah.
All right.
So, also known as a Lasix trial.
Or a Lasix trial.
They're on trial.
Yep. These kidneys are on trial, so you better hope that they perform.
Yeah.
Right? So talk about the pre-renal.
Well, yeah. So in pre-renal, again, this is not a problem with the kidneys. This is a problem before the kidneys. Okay? So you give them Lasix, what happens? They pee. They put out urine. You give them the Lasix, they pee. There's no problem with the kidneys because it's a pre-renal. Right. And the few times I've seen this specifically is when the ratios are kind of creeping into each other. So your pre-renal, you got the 20 to 40 to 1. Your intrarenal is 10 to 15 to 1. What happens if your ratio is 15 to 1? What happens if your ratio is 18 to 1? Maybe even a little on the higher edge or lower edge. Just like, I'm not sure if this is a pre-renal or an intrarenal. I'm going to give the Lasix. Hey, my patient peed. Awesome. What does that tell me? It's a pre-renal, but why does that mean that, Andrew? Tell me why it means it. I love this part.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, follow it. Okay, well, if they don't pee, it's an intrarenal.
Okay. Oh, okay. And you know if what I'm they saying. Do, yeah. But if they do have a response to the Lasix, then we know that it's a pre-renal, because that they will have a response to Lasix, or they should.
They should.
And then an intrarenal, we know that those actual tubules are either necrosed or damaged or blocked up from rhabdo, and they will not have a response even to the Lasix, to those hard diuretics, high doses and everything, no response.
And you've seen it. You'll go and give 120 Lasix. How much do they pee?
None.
36. They didn't pee. They literally didn't pee. You're right. Like, man, that's – wow. Oh, well. All right. Yeah. Well, that's why. It's an intrarenal.
Yeah. And obviously, like, we're not nephrologists, but they can take this kind of information and stuff and just dive so much deeper into it and, like, totally change their treatment path versus if they're, you know, AKI, prerenal, intrarenal, post, you know. And there's so much more to it. But this is very much so scratching the surface. And just so that we as nurses know that there is a actual ratio and things to look for, differentiating prerenal an intrarenal failure.
And sure, some of those nephrologists will come in and say, hey, do this, pull a gas, pull this, pull that, and call the labs to me. You call them and they'll put in a lot of orders. Sometimes they'll be like, all right, we're fine. And so some of it may have something to do with some of these labs where you call them in. Okay, they have maybe a confusing ratio. Hey, let's give them a Lasix trial and see what happens.
Right.
And it may have some of this, hopefully incorporating this into your nursing practice and maybe using some of this in response to some of the physician thought process and order set.
Right, absolutely. And again, this is just so that we can provide a better like continuum of care, and for we as nurses can be aware of these processes that happen so that we can, you know, all together as part of the treatment team and as the, you know, people pushing the Lasix, the ones monitoring the urine output, we know what we're looking for and everything. So then we can advocate for our patients and provide better patient care.
Next time you look at your patient, are they up in the kitchen? Or are they down in the basement?
Two Male Nurses expressly disclaims any liability in association with this podcast.